Amen. Warren Wiersbe, some of you remember him. He was my favorite preacher in the past. But he once said these words, "Everything in God's work rises and falls with leadership. When God wants to accomplish something, he calls dedicated men and women to challenge his people and to lead the way. As never before, our homes, churches, and nations need decisive leaders who will obey God's word." Amen. He said, Will Rogers once quipped, "If you ever injected truth into politics, you would have no politics." The politician asks, "Is it popular?" The diplomat asks, "Is it safe?" But the true leader asks, is it God's will? Is it right? What we need today is godly leadership. Amen. Would you take your Bibles, open them up to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In our study of this book of 1 Peter, you remember Peter is writing, and I say this every week, but just to remind us, he's writing to Christians who were suffering for their faith. And he writes to instruct them and to encourage them to live for God in a hostile environment, in adverse circumstances. You remember last week up in chapter 4, verse 12, he told them, you know what, guys, things aren't getting better. They're not going to get better. In fact, they're going to get worse. You're going from the frying pan into the fire. The Neronian persecution was just getting underway, and it was going to get worse. The wrath of Nero and the Roman Empire was going to be unleashed on the church, and people were going to experience persecution like never before. In times like that, in times of trouble, in times when Christians are being marginalized, maligned, targeted, persecuted, spiritual leadership is very important. Amen. Extremely important. Extremely important. In times like they were experiencing in the first century, and in times like we are likely heading for in the 21st century, it's supremely important that we have strong leaders, listen, in the church, but also in our homes. We need strong leadership. And so Peter, in writing to these first century Christians in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, talks about spiritual leadership. This passage has been called one of the most important passages on the subject of leadership in the Bible. And I thought about this. You know, Peter was qualified to do this. He's qualified to write this, because he had been one of the original 12 disciples, and he saw leadership at its best. He watched the Lord Jesus in leadership. He saw what true biblical leadership looked like in the flesh. And now, when Peter wrote this, he was older. So he had time in his life and ministry to apply some of these methods and to validate the truthfulness of this method of biblical leadership, to verify their validity of these methods. And these verses today, they're applicable to spiritual leaders. Elders of the church, these verses are written to you. But not only elders, deacons, trustees, but not only spiritual leaders in the church, but I think of all parents or even grandparents. We are called to be leaders in our home and in our family. So the principles we're going to look at today, I think, are just pretty much applicable to all of us. And you say, well, I'm not a parent. I'm just a child, or I'm just a teen. They're applicable to you too, because hopefully you are developing leadership qualities in your life. Because God wants you to be a leader in your school. Or wherever God puts you, He wants you to step up and be a leader. So we want to look at, they're applicable really to all Christians. All Christians. So look with me first of all on your outline to the call to biblical leadership. In verse 1, it says, therefore I exhort the elders among you. Here's the appeal. I exhort the elders among you. The word therefore, some of you have translations, you don't have the word therefore, but in most manuscripts, that word appears. And what that does, it connects these first five verses with what went before. And he's talking about suffering. Suffering. And he says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you. And that word exhort, it means it doesn't mean to command. It's not, I'm going to command you. It's, I come alongside and encourage you. He's encouraging them. I come alongside and encourage you. It's not like he's throwing his weight around, a higher authority saying, you've got to do this. And when I thought about that, I thought about the fact that a good leader knows how to work with people and to get people to do what is right without bossing them around. Did you hear that? It's not a matter of, you got to do this. He says, listen, I'm coming alongside you and I'm encouraging you. I'm encouraging you. And he talks here about to the elder. And that word in the original is the word presbyteros. It's the word we get presbytery from. And he's talking to the leaders in the church, the spiritual leaders, the elders of the church. We know that because in verse 3, it talks about there were people that were allotted to their charge. These people were over people as elders in the church. We've trusted, there's people entrusted to your charge. And he talks to the elders. Note that it's plural. It's plural. And it's always plural in the Bible. Because in the early church, there was a plurality of leadership. It wasn't just a one-man show. You know, it's not just, I'm the pastor. You got to do what I say. Shucks. I looked for that verse. I can't find that one. It was always a plurality of leadership. It was a lot of leaders in the church. And he says, listen, I'm encouraging you. It's not a one-man show. I'll tell you what, I think we're all, in one way or another, called to be leaders. We're all called to be leaders. And but this word also, presbyteros, it does mean elderly. There's as in age. In verse 5, it's interesting because he says, you younger men likewise. He contrasts the elders with the younger men. So it has a sense of older. And this tells me something. At least it spoke to my heart. You know, as we get older in our faith in Christ, hopefully we're growing. Amen? Hopefully as we grow older, we're reading our Bibles and we're growing in knowledge of the Lord. But we're also growing in wisdom. We're also growing in practical knowledge. And you know what? Older people in the church, we're called to lead. We're called to lead. And I want to tell you, you're older in the church, you have something to give. You have something to give younger people. You can pour your life into someone else. That's what God wants. He wants us to grow in the faith, but he doesn't want us to just grow in the faith so we get, you know, we're a spiritual person. He wants us to grow so we can pour our life into other people. Mentor other people. Mentor younger people. And older men mentoring younger men. Older women mentoring, shepherding younger women in the church. This is an appeal to do this. Now, look at the author of the appeal, because this is very interesting how Peter describes himself. You know, he could have come on here and said, I exhort you, or I command you, you elders of the church, you know who I am? I'm Peter. I'm one of the original 12 apostles. I'm a super apostle. One of the 12 disciples. In fact, I was one of the three inner disciples. I was in the inner group with the Lord Jesus. And you remember, you might not have heard this, but I was one of the three pillars of the church in Jerusalem. I'm Peter the Great Apostle. He could have said that. But do you see what he says? He doesn't do that. Therefore, I exhort you, the elders among you, he says, as your what? Fellow elder. That word is only used one time in the New Testament. It's here. You see, he doesn't put himself up here, and you guys are down here. You know what? He puts himself on the same level. And you know what? Spiritual leadership realizes, you know what? A spiritual leader is no better than anybody else. We're all in the same boat, right? Now, you may have a position that is over someone or over a charge, but you know what? We're spiritual equals. In fact, there are people that have said Peter didn't write this letter because Peter was an apostle. He'd never call himself a fellow elder. You know what? They don't know about spiritual leadership. Because spiritual leadership puts, you know, doesn't look down on people, puts himself on the same plane as others. That's true biblical leadership. And he says, not only am I a fellow elder, but I'm a witness of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a partaker of the glory, he says, a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. That's how he describes himself. He said, I have witnessed Christ's suffering, and I've become a witness of Christ's suffering. He saw Christ's suffering, but then he went out and witnessed to others about the suffering of Christ. And he was a partaker of the glory. When he received Christ into his heart, he received the glory of Christ, and he was being changed from glory to glory. You see, listen, when you catch a glimpse, or I catch a glimpse of the suffering of Christ, of what God has done for us on the cross, and when I catch a glimpse of what Christ is doing in us, for us and in us, there's nothing he could ever ask us to do that is too great a sacrifice. When we understand what he's done for us, the sufferings of Christ, and then what he's doing in us. I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful thing for me as pastor to see people growing in Christ. To be at the men's fellowship yesterday and see Jesus in the guys as they shared about Christ. Man, when you see that, what Christ has done for us and what he's doing in us, I want you to pick up and I want you to go to Africa to be a missionary. So, okay, let's go, right? That's how he describes himself. That's motive for ministry. And the aim of the appeal, he says in verse 3, here's what I want you to do. Shepherd the flock of God among you. King James says feed, but the word is shepherd. Shepherd the beloved flock of God. Now I'll tell you what, if you shepherd people, it's a tough work. Because shepherding is a 24/7 job. And I'll tell you what, if you don't like the smell of sheep, don't become a shepherd. You know, it can be messy. It can stink, because you know, sometimes we sheep, well, I'm gonna go there. It can be messy. But he says, shepherd the flock of God. I wonder if Peter was thinking when he wrote this about what Jesus said to him up at the Sea of Galilee. Remember after the resurrection when he met with Jesus and Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Lord, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Shepherd my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. You know I love you. Tend my lambs. You see, Peter, when I called you, I said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And I want you to still be a fisherman, but I want you to be even more than a fisherman. I want you to be a shepherd.
Amen.
Oh, shepherd the flock of God among you. You know, have you seen the Geico commercial with the pirate ship? I love that commercial, you know. They take over the ship and there's the captain there and the guy says, let's feed them to the sharks. And the parrot says, let's feed them to the sharks. And take all his gold. And take all his gold and hide it from the crew because they're all morons anyway and they smell bad too. I didn't say that. And then the guy comes on and says what? He says, parrots repeat what they hear. That's what parents do. Parrots do. Now, what do shepherds do? Shepherd the flock of God among you. What's a shepherd do? Let me give you four things a shepherd does. He grazes, guides, guards, and cares for the sheep. Let me say that a different way. He feeds, leads, fights for, and he loves the sheep. He feeds the sheep. I'll tell you what, in this church, I don't want any hungry sheep. That's why we try to preach the Word of God. We teach the Word of God in our Sunday school classes. We want to feed the sheep. I don't want anybody going out hungry. That's why we have no sermonettes. Because sermonettes are for Christianettes, right? That's true. I'm going to reveal something here today because my name, most of you I think know this, my name, Pastor Les, my name is not Les, L-E-S, those are they just stand for something, those three letters stand for something, and some people know what they stand for, other people don't know what they stand for long extended sermons. That's why they call me Pastor Les, because you get more, right? No, you know what? In a church, if you're going to shepherd, or in a home, if you're going to shepherd, you got to feed the sheep. Got to feed the sheep. And then you got to lead the sheep and guide the sheep beside still waters, in the paths of righteousness. You got to guard the sheep from wolves. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of wolves out there today in sheep's clothing. And so you gotta guard the sheep. You gotta tell people, this is what's out there. And this is not according to the Word of God. You teach the Word so you have the standard, but you gotta sometimes say, here's what's out there. And don't go that way. Don't go that way. You gotta guard the sheep. And I'll tell you what, you just gotta love them. As a shepherd, as you shepherd, you gotta love people. You got to love the sheep. You know why? Because whose flock is it? It's my flock. Is it? No, it's the flock of God. the sheep, you guys and me, we're God's flock. Because he purchased us with his blood, amen? Amen? We're his flock. So as you work with people in the church and it gets messy and it gets smelly, and you know what? You got to love them. I'll tell you what, I love the church. I love you guys. I hope you know that. I don't want anybody to guess about that. And the elders love the sheep. And he says, the flock of God among you. You know what? You can't shepherd from a distance. You can't shepherd from a pastor's study. You got to be with your sheep. You got to be with those who God calls you to shepherd. So what's he saying here? Spiritual leaders in the church, this is a direct appeal to us. A direct appeal to us. Shepherd God's flock. Shepherd the flock. Parents. Listen, parents. Indirectly, this applies to you. Shepherd your flock. Shepherd your children. Graze them, guard them, guide them, care for them, love them, lead them. Older saints, this is an appeal to you. Get somebody. Get a younger person. Pour your life in. Take a chance. Go ask a younger lady. Ladies, go ask somebody that's a little younger and say, can we get together for coffee? You know, and start pouring your life in. Older men, I'll tell you what, great men's fellowship. Amen. We need it. Wasn't it good? Get a younger guy. Invite him next time. Pour your life in. This is an appeal. Shepherd the flock. This is not just for elders. It is for elders. But we need people to step up and shepherd the flock of God. That's the call to biblical leadership. But now the motives for biblical leadership. Motives for biblical leadership. And when it comes to biblical leadership, motives are extremely important. Amen? It's not what you only what you do. It's why you do it. Why you do it. He gives here in verses 2 and 3, he gives three contrasting pairs to bring out the motives. Don't do it this way, do it this way. Or don't do it with this motive, but do it with this motive. Look at verse 2b. He says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God. Not under compulsion. Don't step up to be a leader because you have to. Do it because you what? Because you want to, and because God wants you to, because it's the will of God. You know, I realize sometimes in the church you get roped into doing stuff. Isn't that true sometimes? If you don't do it, we won't have anybody. You got to do it. You know, come on, Frank, we need you. And sometimes people get into jobs and stuff in the church because they're under compulsion from the pastor or from somebody else. There was one commentator that stated the elder or spiritual leader should not occupy the office as a reluctant draftee, doing an irksome task because he feels he cannot escape it. Were you ever in a ministry like that? Oh, gee, I got to do this ministry. No. That's not, that motive, you shouldn't do it that way. It's not under compulsion. You do it voluntarily. We minister because we're willing and eager to serve Christ. Amen. To serve the Lord. And this is so important in ministry because you know what? If you're doing it because you have to, it's a drag. But if you're doing it because God wants you to and you're voluntarily doing, I'll tell you what, ministering for Christ is a blast. A blast? Did I see Denise back there? A blast? It's great. And you know what? You keep the love of God in the ministry when you do it willingly. Serve and lead not because you have to, but because you want to and because God told you to. Secondly, do not do it for what you can get, but for what you can give. He says, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Now, this is something new. It used to be to go into the ministry, it cost you something. It was a sacrifice. I mean, you go into the ministry, and generally today, people don't go into the ministry to make a lot of money. But some do. Some do. Now, that's not to say that a Christian worker or a pastor or a missionary shouldn't receive a fair wage, because Jesus said what? The worker is worthy of his hire. So it's not that they shouldn't receive. But he's saying, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing this? Is it for what you can get or for what you can give? Am I serving Christ so that people will come and say, oh, great work, you're wonderful, wonderful? Or am I serving Christ to give and to bless others? That's important as far as motive of ministry. You know, that's the difference between a hireling and a shepherd, right? The hireling is in it for what? What he can get. The shepherd is in it because he loves the sheep. The hireling, what's a hireling do when the wolf comes? He's out of here, man. I'm gone. The shepherd stands and fights for the sheep. There's a difference here. A difference between a good shepherd is not, he is out to feed the sheep, not fleece the sheep. FBF elders, I want you to know, we're trying to be better shepherds. Now, we have a long way to grow, but we are trying. And every time we meet, we share about the sheep that are in our charge. We pray, and we're trying to be better shepherds. And you know what I think we should do? It's just my feeling. I think we should triple the salaries of the elders in our church for what they do. Is Dave here? Is he leave? Triple the salary for being a shepherd. Of course, three times nothing is nothing. Now, I'll tell you, these are good men, but they're good for nothing. I mean, they're not in it. We're not in it, hopefully. None of us are in it for sordid gain. It's not about what you get. It's about what you give. That's biblical leadership. That's motive. It's motive. We want to give to the Lord and we want to bless others. Amen? And then thirdly, and this has to do with motives, but it has to do with methods too. In verse 3, not bossing people around, but by example. He says there, verse 3, not lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving or being examples to the flock. This is huge. This is big when it comes to biblical leadership. It's not about being a dictator. I'll tell you what, you go to certain churches, there are dictators. There are drill sergeants. And you either keep the pace here or you do this, they kick you out. That's sad. But that's true. But biblical leadership is not like that. You are to shepherd the flock of God. Biblical leadership leads by example. Amen. We need to be what we want those whom we shepherd to become. Church leaders need to be what we want the people of Faith Bible Fellowship to become. So we got to ask ourselves, If the church became like me, would we have a church in 2 years? Would we have a praying church? Would we have a church that read their Bibles every day? Would we have a church that longed for God? If they became just like me. Now, well, let's say parents. If your kids would grow up to be just like you. Is it leading? You know what? Do what I say, not what I do. I tell you what, that's not biblical leadership. Biblical leadership is follow me as I follow Christ. You see, it's not being the boss. Now, let me interject something here. Sometimes with kids, you just got to say, you do it because mommy said so. Come on, amen? Or dad said so. That's the way you do it, you do it. I'm not against that, but because sometimes you just have to do that. But I'll tell you what, I want to be able to say to my boys, you follow me as I follow Christ. You do what I do. Now, will they always follow? No. But I'll tell you what, you can sleep at night. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit has something to work in their lives, has a handle. And one day, I believe, man, oh man, that's a power. Example, lead by example. That's biblical leadership. Biblical leadership in the church and home is leadership by example. Now, thirdly, the rewards of biblical leadership. Down in verse 4, there are specific rewards for serving as well as a biblical leader. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now the giver of the rewards, the chief shepherd. He's calling us to shepherd. Chief shepherd. Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He is the great shepherd of Psalm 23 who keeps his sheep. He is the chief shepherd who is one day going to come from heaven and descend and come back for his sheep. The chief shepherd. When's he going to give these rewards? When he comes, when he appears. He's coming for the sheep. Revelation 22:12 says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done. He's brought his rewards with him. The receiver, you. You shepherd well. And again, I don't think this is just, it does speak to church leaders, but I think we're all called to shepherd and to lead. That's you when you do that, when I do that. It's for us. He'll reward the faithful servant sacrificing under shepherds when he comes. And the nature of the reward, he will give to them and to us the unfading crown of glory. It's unfading because it's eternal. It's the crown, it's the Stephanos, it's the victor's crown. It's the crown of glory because I think it is glory. We will shine with his glory when we get those rewards from the shepherd. And I just remembered when we started this series, that suffering plus grace equals glory. Glory. One last point. And that's the attitudes of biblical leadership. He says down in verse 5, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders and all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Two attitudes of true biblical leadership. Number one, the attitude of submission. be subject to your elders. Learning to be submissive to appointed authorities is a prerequisite to becoming a biblical leader. Those who know how to practice, listen to this, those who know how to practice biblical submission always make the best leaders in the church and in the home. Always. When I thought about that, I thought about in the Old Testament, I thought about Moses and Joshua. Because Joshua was Moses' servant. And in Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 1, it says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying," and what he does is he tells Joshua, "You are now going to take the position of leadership. You have served well. Now you are qualified to lead my people into the land." He had to learn to, first of all, serve in that position of submission. And then when Moses died, God said, "You're qualified." And I'll tell you, one of the things that I look for in people for leadership positions in the church is how well can they submit to authority. Because the elders of this church will tell you, the deacons will tell you, the trustees will tell you, we have to, in those boards, we have to submit to one another all the time. I have to submit to the elders. The elders have to submit to the pastor. We have to submit to one another in the fear of Christ. And if you can't submit to others and place yourself under authority, you won't make a good leader. In fact, you'll bring chaos into the church. Second attitude is the attitude of humility. And that goes hand in hand. "All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." The attitude of humility goes hand in hand with submission. Because it's only the humble of heart that can submit to biblical leadership. If a leader in the church gets proud and thinks he's better than others, I'll tell you what, that will cause chaos, havoc in the church. The greatest leader of all times was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what did he do, Jim? You stole my sermon. I'll tell you what, that chapter 13 of John, folks, the night that God washed feet. He got down and washed the feet. And you know what he said? Listen to what he said. He said that, "I washed your feet. I washed your feet." Do you know the servant's not greater than the master? If I washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. Amen. "I have done this as a" what? "An example." This is leadership. Amen. To get down humbly and wash the disciples' feet. In fact, not only did he humbly wash their feet, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's humility. If anybody should have been proud, it should have been Jesus. But he was humble. That's an attitude of spiritual, biblical leadership. In closing, here's what I want you to do. Would you pray for the leaders of this church? The elders, deacons, trustees, they're on the back of your bulletin. I want to ask you to pray for the leadership of this church. Everything in God's work rises or falls with leadership. Would you pray for your leaders? Second of all, maybe someone is being called here today to be a shepherd. Did you hear God appealing to you? Shepherd my flock. There's some young person in this church that needs to be shepherded. Would you ask God to put somebody on your heart to be a shepherd? That you can pour your life into? Thirdly, we need biblical leaders in our church. We need biblical leaders in our homes because we're living in times like these. We need men and women who will voluntarily minister, not for what they can get, but for what they can give. We need leaders who will be out in front, leading by example, saying to others, follow me as I follow Christ. Will you be one of those leaders? In the church? In your home? In your school? Will you be a leader for Christ? Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we bow before you today. And Lord, we agree. I believe we all agree. In times like these, in difficult days, true biblical leadership is essential. Lord, help us to take your example, to follow your example of leadership in the church, in the homes. I pray for the young people that they would step up and really lead and be out in front in their schools. Just help us to be the leaders you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.